So are we good then to move on with projects? Is that where we're headed? Okay. Okay.
Oh, this one's really little.
I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to handle.
Yeah, that's a little bit more logic.
Yes, wonderful, thank you. Okay.
First section with funding, second section is non-capital. So again, we'll follow the same that. I can put the funding piece. That will just what you can see from is ask each year like that bow we want to be taking under expect another funding for this is the basis for everything that that's the expected revenue that will be flowing. So, this will be roughly the gap. Those are the just the funding and then that we start in mind.
Michelle, can you just hold off for a second there? I just want to point out, if stay where you were. If you look at column B, counselors, that's the pillar for the strategic plan. So for each item that we've got in the projects, we also link it to the objective within the strategic plan.
Excellent.
Sorry, yep. All right, so the first item with the Multi-Use Trail Association. So we've been giving them about a total of 20,000 for the last several years, which is divided between 10,000 of operating and 10,000 gas tax or CCBF. This year they have increased their request to 25, so an additional 5,000. And that additional five was the request is around providing an honorarium to hire someone to start doing some of their administration work. And my understanding is they put the same request to the municipality of Barrington as well, just to have some context on that. So that is a request though that goes through grants to organization as well, because it's the process that's used for any of these. This grant goes through that process. So my understanding is they would probably, they have submitted the request, but they may be required to do a presentation around that request as well, just to make you aware. But it is an additional $5,000 ask. So that's why that's in there, because that is the ask right now. Then the next item, so we have Jordan Youth Park upgrades. So this is actually broken into two parts. One is non-capital. So this part is under non-capital. Then there's a section of capital as well. So we had to break it out just to see how we categorize capital and non-capital. So basically capital items would be like, for this project, would be like the play equipment itself. If we put a new, some playground equipment, things like that. Those type of items, that would be more of almost like a, not a permanent structure, but essentially. So this one is non-capital items. So if we were to put in like an accessible pathway, things of that nature, that would not be considered capital. So that's why that's listed under here for 10,000. But that's not the total project cost. That's just the non-capital items for that. And that is looking at 8,000 from operating reserve and then a pending grant application for 2,000. And then the next one is the Jordan River Bridge rehabilitation, so as you know. So this shows going into next fiscal, we'll have around 2.9-ish million for that project. And so that breakdown shows the different funding. So we have, so we've spent some money for that project of the $3 million this fiscal, and that's been on the owner's engineers services, those fees for that. Once those fees, there's fees related to that throughout the project. So we have roughly around 2.9 to go towards the bridge construction itself, and almost 100,000 of that is the owner's engineers. So that's why you're seeing it kind of that way. So the pending grant application, that is actually the COA funding we have, and then the we have our gas tax amount, that 516, and then under the reserves and grants, and then the MPAL program reserves depleted, so we had like a surplus of funds for the MPAL program that we've been chipping away at over the last several years, and that's kind of been used to balance that budget. Basically, it's projecting at the end of 26-27 that'll be depleted, so there won't be any surplus left of that. And just related to that is we are moving into 26-27 is the last year of the MPAL agreement with the province. It's the last year that of that surplus being available. So moving this next fiscal, we do have to start looking at a potential new agreement, if we want to opt into a new agreement type thing, and what potential contributions will be required to maintain that program. So there's four funders, us, the Town of Shelburne, Town of Lockport, and the province. So that's something that will be coming up to be looked at moving forward. Then the next one, I'll have off-field phase four. They're actually now calling it 3B. they changed the plans a bit, but so this would be they're looking at continuing to do some upgrades at the field. Our amount, the request that they've put in is 15,000, and it's under gas tax. So that 15,000 would go towards would qualify for gas tax. They're looking at doing at the field itself, run the backstop here. They're looking at extending that back further. So they have a larger space for mainly children to play and whatnot away from the field, and that's a safer space. So it's quite a bit of kind of landscaping work, if you will, groundwork.
Sorry, if
yep.
I may. So $15,000. So that's going to be through a grant?
That would be through like the grants organization. That would be through that process as well, the grants organization process.
Okay.
It doesn't come, it's in here, it would be taken from gas tax. If, yeah, that's our, that would be our portion.
It's going to be taken from gas tax, sorry.
Yes, that's what we would, if we were to give them that grant, it would be through gas tax.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so if you look on the project spreadsheet here, the column L, that's CCBF, that's gas tax. So yes. Any of the expenses you see in column L, qualifies
for
the gas tax.
Yeah, so I see that, but I also see $15,000 under MODS reserves and grants, so that's why I was asking that.
Where are you at? Sorry.
Okay.
Yes, sorry, yeah.
Don't okay, look, but don't it's coming look. From there. Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then the next one, inspections, Tom Tigney Bridge and Rosary River Trailbridge. So these are potential project ends around. So the CEO mentioned about those two bridges also needing rehabilitation in the next several years. This type of inspections would be kind of more detailed inspections to see how long the lifespan could be extended. They're kind of like live load capacity assessments or live load and dead load. They get to more details of that. Our usual inspections, which are done every 5 years, They're kind of like at a condition review. They don't get that detailed, but they give you a good, a rough idea. These could give you like a better idea to say, yes, you can go another X amount of years without having to do any immediate repairs. So we're kind of looking at it to say, how soon, if we do want to continue with having these bridges and whatnot, how soon do we have to start doing work? Do we have some more time? So that's what that's in there for.
Yeah, I apologize earlier. So the white column is just saying the total amount, and then over to the
yes.
money, that is showing exactly where the money is coming
yes,
from.
Yes, we can get a grant to help with that, those costs around the, I will note though that, as you're all aware, some of the provincial budget cuts has affected some of these grants that I was going to go for. They've either been reduced or completely cut. So, and I can, one related to the Jordan Youth Park has been completely cut. Just, it is what it is. And the one related to the inspections has been reduced. Anyways, doesn't mean we still don't apply for the inspection one, but it has been, it'll be a tighter squeeze on trying to, you know, get those out. So, the next one, the Moby Chair area, that's in Walker Park. So this was, I've moved it to the next fiscal. It was for this one, but just due to schedule, this is not going to get done by the end of this fiscal with the weather and all that. And it's a small project, but it actually will be fine to do it in the spring, and then we can get it going ready for the park opening. So it'll still be fine timeline wise.
It's a small project.
It is,
but have a huge impact.
Yep. Yes, and it's important for the park. So. Absolutely. And then the next one, trail maintenance. So this is one that was around trail maintenance, like grading the bush clearing on the trails of all our trails, kind of like an annual or every so often maintenance job. It was planned for this fiscal. I moved to the next because there is a grant that would give us some, or at the time would have given us some more money to supplement that. That has been reduced as well that I've seen. But it's all, I think, a matter of how soon you can get your application in. So sooner than later, that'll be done. And that's a small amount, though, as well, $10,000. And this is something that gets done every 3 or 4 years. It's not an every year type expense. That's why it's a project. Then the last one, interpretive site upgrades. So this is mainly around, this is more related to the Sandy Point interpretive site. And that the picnic shelter that is on that site that we have there does need to be removed. It's just in a state of it's because it's been by salt water for so many years, it's starting to rot out. And we want to replace that with maybe an accessible picnic table and a pathway. So that's what that amount is towards, is that specific site. We are over the next couple fiscals doing more assessments around our facilities. But that one is one that needs attention sooner than later. So that's what it's been put in this budget or the next budget. And that's the non-capital.
Okay. Questions on this? And anyone on the flaggings?
My only comment is, you know, we're losing so much or potentially with the province. I wonder if there are going to be any ways to perhaps get some federal funding for some of this.
So the ones that I was going for were not large amounts. They were the smaller grants that are, but we haven't, this has all obviously just happened the last couple of days. So our contact through Department of Communities, Cultures and Heritage, we haven't heard from that individual yet, but we all expect soon enough to kind of give us an idea of like, okay, if you're going for this grant, what are the, you know, what should we be doing related to that? Because we're obviously not the only unit that's probably depending on some of these. And they are the smaller projects. Luckily, our bigger project, like the bridge, that money that we had got from the provinces, we have it and we're funded. But it does throw some questions in the air moving forward if they're cutting things now. And the big one that they did cut was the RFD, which is the major infrastructure project for recreation. So like if that's the one like the Ohio Ball Field would be going for, that the arenas go for, that one did get reduced by, I think, over 300,000, which in a region that can be quite a bit, right? So,
definitely.
Anyway, yes.
Shand, the Jordan Youth Park, are we completely responsible for the upkeep and everything for that park?
So, we have a lease on that property with the province, and so our section of it, we do. We're responsible for the maintenance, all that. So we've been looking at doing some upgrades there because all the equipment is older. We do have a bit of a plan. We have a plan for it, but it keeps getting bumped down a bit just because of cost, but also now with the grants and stuff. So we'll have to kind of reassess moving into the next fiscal.
Question is the trail maintenance to like the Woodland multi-use, so the trail maintenance, is that the walking trails through town?
Yes, so the Woodland multi-use trails. So we have a couple, several trails ourselves, and it's only maybe a total of 5 kilometers. In the municipality, the Woodland Multi-Use Trail Group has a trail all over Shelburne County. The town trail itself is separate from ours, but they have quite a bit, and it is a large job for the maintenance. And so we give them, it's divided into 2 sections, 10,000 operating, because they can use that for anything. But gas tax, it's very specific. You can't use that for general maintenance. It's usually project related or like major upgrades, things like that. So we give them a little of both because they're usually doing both. So they have. They manage like, I don't know, 7 kilometers of trail or something. It's a lot. It's a big project. So in our side of the county, the municipality, that's what we contribute to.
Do you have anything for Councilman Thorburn Irvine?
So just thinking about parks and then thinking about green spaces and open spaces that I brought up yesterday. How much do we contract? We must contract that out into mowing and just.
No, we have in the, what we've been doing, like when it needs its maintenance, like spring, summer, and early fall. It's usually between. It's been between our our bylaw staff. We've had a person hired usually for 3 months, 3-4 months, like May to September-ish, to do that maintenance of the recreation sites.
I see.
But now that's got, that was in place because we didn't have that operational support worker or a public works person to do that. Yeah. But now that's been shifted towards that position. So okay. They will be responsible.
Okay, thank you. And just one quick question. Maybe this, and Morton, maybe this is something for, and to Adam, for a future, maybe when we're done the budget process, it's a council item. With these interpretive panels, it would be so good if we had...
Councillor, can I interrupt you for a
moment? Yes.
We've got 15 years to go through.
QR codes. I want to see history embedded in our QR codes, in our interpretive panels. What an asset.
Okay. Thank you.
Just want to keep it on. Do we have any flags for these items that Adam's gone through?
Anything further, Deputy Warden?
Just the Jordan River Park, Jordan Youth Park upgrades. We attended the meetings. We never had there was me and one other resident. And then we had people reach out that said that the ones who had asked about the upgrades, that their little families have moved.
Right.
I'm not sure if we go forward and do that sort of survey or what. Like, I don't want it to be a waste of money.
Nope.
And I know we have a small grant, but if it's not going to be utilized and we can put it into Welcome Park or one of those, then I think we need to utilize it that way. So it's just a comment on that.
So just as a response, we are doing a facilities assessment this next fiscal. And one of the things related to that is a public survey, which we're kind of preparing now. And in that will be questions about what parks and things that people use and why they use it. So that information we get from that is going to help inform future decision making on all that kind of stuff. So we can definitely like reassess and hold off if we want to for that park itself. So based on what we get back.
And I think we should, and it might just result into a gazebo sort of thing.
Right.
People can stop and have a lunch.
Yes. Yep.
Thank you. Nothing further?
So okay. We just got the one item flagged, eh?
Yes.
Okay.
The youth park. Jordan Youth Park.
Okay, I'm stepping in for Val here. Bright Days campaign, that's a contracted obligation for the hospital up in Bridgewater. We're in year 4, and I think it was a 5-year commitment there. Sandy Point Lighthouse, We're looking at a $100,000 ask there, and we believe that that qualifies under the gas tax, which is great.
That would be fabulous if it does.
Office of Health Professional Recruitment. So we're looking at about $29,000. And I apologize. I'm not 100% sure what this is. I think it's a community guidebook is what that is. But hopefully Val can clarify that next Tuesday. Next one is archaeological assessment for Hart's Point. So this is one of the items that we have to complete to really make that property more marketable going forward. And then the housing grants program. So this, I believe, flows through half funding for developers that apply for that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's everything for Val.
Excited about the comment about Sandy Point Light. Yeah. Hopefully that we can use those funds, and excited to see that we'll get moving on the Hart's Point property as well. Any questions or comments?
Quick question. When will we have confirmation of that? Of the Sandy Point Lighthouse, for example? When will it be? When would it be confirmed?
Do you have any idea when we might have confirmation of usage for the Sandy Point Lighthouse?
For the gas tax fund?
Yes.
Yeah.
Val's already reviewed the qualifications for that. She believes that it's a good to go.
Okay.
So if you approve it, then I think we're good to go.
Okay. Thank you. Anything further? Okay. Ready to move on?
Okay, the next few items are mine. So we have Economic Development Officer in Training. So that is year two of year three commitment funded by the Housing Accelerator Fund. So this one must stay in the budget. A portion of that also goes to Brighter Planning as support for that position. And I believe when Val presented it last year, there was a reduction in the sort of training amount for each of the 3 years as the new employee got more comfortable with handling more things themselves. So that will continue to reduce over the next couple of years. The next item is bylaw enforcement, public works supervisor succession planning. And that, as I mentioned, we're anticipating that the current bylaw enforcement officer and public works supervisor will likely retire within the next year. So there's $30,000 included in this project for overlap for a new hire with the current employee. So there's some overlap time and some training. There's also a need to have this overlap because the new bylaw enforcement officer would need to obtain the special constable status prior to the current employee leaving to avoid gaps in coverage. The special constable certifications, as I mentioned before, allow the bylaw enforcement officer to legally enter properties for investigation and enforcement, and it allows the issuance of the summary offense tickets. So we just want to ensure there's no gap between the two, or we wouldn't be able to fulfill those duties. The next item is crisis navigator, and that one,
yeah, I think Warren, I'll just talk about that. That's something that the five units have talked about before with regard to potentially sharing that. I've received no correspondence back from any of the other five or four units, so I really think that that's probably a no-go. I don't think it's on their radar at all.
Yeah, and I mean, with that, I mean, sometimes when we look at that, we think our CMP or mental health to take care of that. But I'm glad that it's in there and noted that we haven't heard from the other four units on that. So I guess that's a flag at this point, that position.
Can I move on?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, the communications officer position that's listed there, staff are recommending council consider a communications position. The estimated cost for the position would be approximately $62,000. As mentioned under the operational budget GLs, the municipality currently budgets $40,000 for a communications consultant, or use IRIS, and most of you are familiar with them. This has been in place since the wildfires, and It's used annually for significant communication events, not just our day-to-day. So that $40,000 could be more sustainably spent by contributing it to an internal staff position that could take on these communication matters, among other things. Additionally, there are a number of staff resources assigned to communication tasks that could be realigned with this position, creating more efficient workflow for a number of our existing staff. It's being proposed that if the council is open to exploring the position, potential job duties and projects could include being responsible for creating a comprehensive communications policy, which has been identified as an interest of this council and by many of our staff. Responsible for all social media, advertisements, newsletters, press releases, etc. Responsible for setting up and maintaining council and committees of council audio and visual recordings. Responsible for resident feedback opportunities, public sessions, community engagements, etc. And ensuring all municipal materials are aligned with key messaging, branding, accessibility, privacy, and professional standards. The AMA listserv has shown that nearly half of municipalities in Nova Scotia, large ones and small ones, of the ones who have responded to my inquiry, have at least one communications person, and many have two. The feedback received from those other units has been that with growing demands from the public and the municipalities' desire to maintain proper transparency, that these positions are vital to create consistency in messaging and outreach. So earlier this year, there was a proposal that all five Shelburne County municipal units would coordinate and hire a shared person to administer the new accessibility plan, as well as the equity and anti-racism plans. While that plan with the five units is not continuing, the need for the staff resources to implement those plans still continues to be in place. It is recommended that the staff resource for implementation of these plans could be included in this position because there are a lot of communication components and outcomes required from the plans. So the Director of Recreation is going to talk a little bit about those requirements within those plans and how this position could help.
Right. So as you know, we have those two plans. And just as a reminder, each plan is legislated. So we are by law required to implement those plans. So the work that's kind of associated with those plans, you will eventually have two councils, two committees of councils. We have one for the accessibility currently, and we're going to soon be starting advertising for the Equity and Anti-Racism Advisory Committee. So you have staff resource for each of those committees. And essentially, you do have to provide oversight on the action items of the plans and the implementation of the plans as a staff member. But there's also public communications related to the plans. And obviously, they can be very sensitive topics, websites, social media work, and then just general overall correspondence with the committees, but also members of the public, especially I'm finding with the Equity and Anti-Racism Plan, there tends to be more, I don't know if you want to call it general interest, but there's definitely more concerns about the potential results of that. So, and also with the plans, whether you're renewing the plans, or maybe you're working on certain things related to, but there could be a fair amount of public engagement and consultation because you're required to update those plans every 3 years, but also related to our policy reviews and development that could be related to those plans as well. And just recently, it just came out here within the last few weeks. So related to the accessibility plan, they've been putting together standards. So right now they're working on information and communication standard. So the Nova Scotia Accessibility Advisory Board has drafted recommendations for that related to information and communication. So that document, when you look at it, there's quite a bit in there that is related to communications, obviously, that could create a lot of work around all those things that were kind of just mentioned. Especially when it comes to like online and digital platforms, things of that nature. But simple, just things even like having to be able to provide sign language and visual access to language. There's a lot of stuff in there. These are just recommendations currently, but once they do become the standard, then they become law. So it's another thing that we have to make sure we have in place. So it's just more things and that needs to be done. And it's a lot of based around that communications piece. And so basically, as things are now, that you can progress can be made, but it's at a slower rate, obviously, if you don't have a staff that has that in their position as main responsibilities. But now with two committees that are both or these plans that are legislated, we are really accountable to getting that work done. So I guess that's kind of how it does impact that potential.
Okay, thank you very much. Oh, I'll put you, Mike.
I'm suspecting that there are likely questions on that one. So do we want to have those questions before we move on to the next?
Or just a quick comment.
I saw Deputy Warden first, and then Councillor Thorburn Irvine, and then Councillor Shand.
I'm just asking for it to be flagged. I did flag the contract in the original. I think there needs to be a deeper discussion here, and I'd like to have that flagged.
Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
Oh, I just wanted to make the comment that for the 52nd Council, when we first came on, it is a function of a smaller municipal unit. And wherever we needed to have consultation, we would. And so at, 2020, we realized as issues came up, we had no planner. And again, consulting where we need. We had no engineer. We had no comms person. And so for everything that our deputy CAO says and our recreation director, I think our time has come in terms of communications, for example. Yeah.
Complete current communication budget look like that full 40,000, or would we only be taking a portion of that towards 62?
Yeah, I think that would be a discussion for council to have. The current consultant is a very high level professional, group that if there are, extremely sensitive topics that we wanted some advice on, that we might still keep a little bit in the budget for that very, specific, those very specific topics, but that's really a decision of council.
Yeah, no, and I think that's an excellent point to raise, and we'll have that discussion when we on Tuesday or the next meeting. Okay, anything further?
Okay,
good.
So it's just the one flag there.
Oh, I still have more to go through.
So the crisis navigator and communications officer. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So next on our list is union and non-union agreement negotiations. So this is obviously done every 3 years. The $10,000 cost is for legal advice and consultation during that process. So you'll see this in the 15-year plan every 3 years. The next item is streetlight conversion projects. That's for the consultant piece. So if council would like to commit to a streetlight conversion to municipally owned new LED streetlights in 2027-28, which is where it's listed in the 15-year budget right now, the first step would be to hire a consultant to review the current street lighting situation, including the long-term cost savings, energy savings, long-term benefits of ownership, et cetera, and that would be estimated at the $25,000 that's showing in the budget there. This consultant portion would need to be done in the year prior to the conversion project itself in order for the data to be relevant. So primary estimates for the actual conversion project are around $1 million in capital costs. So if council wanted to push that, then we recommend that you push the consultant to the year before that project as well. So we just don't have a gap in the data of a year or two. We want to make sure we have the most accurate data that we can have. And for the immediate year prior.
Did you have others, or do you want to?
Yeah, I have others.
Okay, and then we'll just going back to our process here.
Municipal engineering services. Okay, so the municipal engineer contract project is valued at $40,000, and it's for engineering services that are now necessary due to updates in our land use bylaw, municipal planning strategy, and subdivision bylaw. So since the municipality doesn't have a municipal engineer on staff, the service must be contracted out. The project amount is an estimate, and annual cost will fluctuate year to year depending on how often their service is provided. But we have suggested the $40,000 there as a starting point. And then IT hardware. So this item is for 4 tablets for directors at a total of $4,000. 2 tablets were purchased in the previous year as a trial. This allows electronic note taking for easier record management practices, as well as easier document recovery at meetings often on site. So that's really like an internal sort of housekeeping item, but it is a one-off project, so we've pulled that out. Amalgamation is Warren's item.
Okay, so just for those three items there, do you have any flags on those three items?
I would like to see at this point the streetlight conversion consultant line item to remain. We've been talking about this for probably three terms now, at least, and our street lighting costs continue to increase. I believe when Terry Thibodeau was here and gave his presentation to council, he did speak about the, if I remember correctly, there was a significant savings for the community, and so I would like to see that remain.
So no flags on these three items?
Deputy Warden, and then Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
The Municipal Engineering Services, I'd like to flag and just have a little deeper discussion that there might be options that we can partner with, you know, Queens or the town of Shelburne has a gentleman. Maybe that's an option. I'm not sure. So I'd just like to have a deep, not that I'm against it by no means, but I think the discussion needs to be had a little bit to explore other options.
Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
Erin, you had said $1 million. Was that the savings that we were going to realize?
No, that's the capital cost.
Capital cost.
For the project, not the
right
consultant.
But projected out. We were all impressed by the significant savings. So it's, yeah, thank you.
Okay, I just have to shut my alarm.
Okay, just moving on.
Everyone is good? Okay, thank you.
Just moving on, amalgamation. This one's a big question mark here. The province had identified us to go to MIP funding for the costs. We identified initial costs about $550,000, something like that. 25% was coming to the three units, our share of that would be about $105,000. We just found out that the province has canceled the MIP program. So right now there's zero funding available until the province comes back to us. We'll be sending a letter to them, I am assuming, through the amalgamation committee. So I'm not too sure what you want to do with that $105,000, whether or not you want to still leave it in there or whether or not you want to take that out.
You want us to state now or are you?
Yeah, I may as well do.
To go through.
Yeah, may as well just tell me now.
Okay.
I think it comes out because I don't think it's moving forward, to be honest, is my opinion. I know that we could probably afford our portion, but the two towns will not without the MIP funding. So I think that we remove it.
What if there are other funding, though, avenues that become available? Maybe it's not the province, maybe it's through the feds. I prefer to keep it in until we know more, or until at least we get ready to actually approve the budget. I mean, we're still a month away.
We can have it in the budget. And just might be we just don't use it.
Yeah.
Right. But you don't know what the province will do. Like they might come back and say, listen, we can provide you some funding, mm-hmm. but we want you to chip something in.
Yeah.
Right.
I would prefer to leave it in.
And I think for safety reasons, we can leave it in, but we might not use it.
Councillor Sutherland. Okay. Anyone else on that? Yeah. Because that it's under a capital project, right?
Yeah.
So. Sorry, Councillor Cool. Okay. Oh, you need your mic on there, please. Oh, okay. Deputy Warden.
So leaving it in doesn't affect our overall budget right now, underneath this project's one, correct?
It's gonna impact your operating reserves. It'll show it coming out.
Your reserves, just reserves. Okay.
Yeah. The next item here is the water station with the town of Shelburne. So this is. A proposal that was sent to us by the town, and it's looking at a citizen or a resident used water station, pay station, something similar to what they have in Yarmouth. They're looking for us to contribute 50%. They're estimating a total cost of $250,000, $125,000 to us. The operating cost will be recovered by the income that's charged to the residents who use the water, and it would be available potentially for free during emergency situations, and the water supply would actually come from the town water supply. So that's a request that came from the town.
Okay, you want your comments on that one, or are you going to continue?
That's the end of me. We're going to move into Director of Operations next. So do you want that flagged?
Okay, I have Deputy Warden and then Councillor Shand.
So has the town of Shelburne committed to the $125,000 on their end?
I have no idea.
So I think we need to flag it, please, until we have confirmation that the other 50% of financing or whatever for this project is received.
Councillor Shand?
I was just going to pretty much say the same thing. I'd just like to have more information about it, because I'm unsure of what this piece is. I'm sure that was plugged by the council previously, but I'm not fully aware what the project is. We'd just like to have more information, that's all.
Yeah, I mean, I could probably send you the email that they sent us, making the request. It's something that's probably going to be located by the fire station, probably that back area where the second row of parking is. And it's, I don't know if you've seen the Yarmouth Water Station. Basically, it's like a big rectangular unit with a hose sticking out. You sort of drive under and you can fill up your tanks. So it's not just for little water bottles. It's for, like, you know, the cubic meter containers as well. And so that's something I think that they wanted to address because of the emergency water supply.
Is that helpful? Great. Thank you. Anything further? Okay, so that was the CAO, and then we're moving on now to Director of Operations.
Yes. So bear with me because I'm struggling to see my page today. I keep on, off, but the very first item is a SCADA annual fee. And this is a little bit backwards because there is a SCADA system showing on the capital projects. So if approved, that will incur an annual fee. So that is why you're seeing a SCADA annual fee, but you haven't yet seen a SCADA system. And the reason it's green is because it's not something that is required. It is essentially a wish list item that would help us operate more efficiently and give us a source of information and control electronically. So I'll move on from that one. That one can be further discussion once we get to the capital piece. The backup pump for the Venres station, this is actually a required item. We need to purchase a backup pump in the event that ours fails, and install a new pump there. So that's why that one's yellow. HHW site improvements, because we are doing more HHW activities and because there is a fresh set of eyes in that department, there are some items that have been identified that would help us to utilize the facility to the best of its ability. And just to brief history, staff works there 2 days a month, that they're on site, winter season, summer season, outdoor in the elements, accepting household hazardous waste from the public. And they've identified that it would be a great item if there was some wind blocking and perhaps some sun shading along the chain link fence that would create a better working environment, but also create a safer working environment because you are dealing with explosive chemicals, gases, liquids that can splash up in your eyes, and lots of things that are of concern. So having that wind and sunshade block would create a safer environment there. So the other part is some racking. They would like to purchase propane racks. You can get standard units, like, for example, from Amazon, that would allow all of the propane tanks to be stored in locked metal containers outside the building. And that way they would be safer because the gases wouldn't be gathering in the sea can. So a lot of this comes from a safety perspective. It is green because they're not all required. Some of the items are required from an OH&S perspective, but some of them are not. So that is why that item is green. So rebuilding the backup pump from Venres, we've left that as green because we're going to replace the pump, but then we'd like to rebuild the pump that we remove. So in the event that there's a failure or that we are in a situation where we need an additional pump, we would have one available. That's something that it just makes good sense to us, and that's why it's a project, but it's not an actual requirement to have that backup there on site. So again, that's why it's green.
I just want to jump in there. I've got a different view on that. That Venrez lifting station is the only lifting station for that whole area there. If we lose that pump, that station could go down for quite a significant period of time.
So there's two pumps in the station. Okay. So we would, one is brand new now. We'd be replacing the other one. So we would essentially have two brand new pumps. So in order to absolutely require that backup one, it would be that both of them would have failed. One is generally sufficient to operate the station. Two creates a situation where it's more efficient. It doesn't have to work as hard because there's two doing the work. So I do agree with Warren. I want the backup. That's why it's in the budget. And it only makes sense that if our existing pump has not fully failed, that we replace it now before it does fully fail and take the time to rebuild it while it still has some life, to have it as a backup. So that
being
is
proactive.
Yeah, it's just being proactive. So the next few items are all yellow because they need to be done. So we need a new gas detection unit for the sewage treatment plant. The polishing wetland that we're in the process of constructing needs to be sampled. And because our existing sampling unit is fixed in the sewage treatment plant and for the lagoon, we actually need a portable sampler to allow staff to bring it to the polishing wetland and do their sampling there. The sewer plant bathroom has been identified as an OH&S item because that facility does not have a functioning bathroom. And part of that OH&S report identified that they needed a source of clean running water. And I just want to clarify that we do have that now. So there is a source of clean running water to wash your hands and that sort of thing at the site now, but there is no washroom facilities.
And that's a requirement, you said?
Yes.
For OHS.
Yeah.
OH&S.
So we have an existing pump that we need to place in. We actually have to pay to install it at the Venrez station. So that has to be done. That new pump is here. It just actually has to be installed. So the other part is to repair and improve the dog kennels and purchase dog catching equipment. We do have dog kennels. We do have dog catching equipment, but we have been undertaking discussions with the SPCA and talking about what are best practices if we are going to continue to do this. And as you can imagine, we are having an increased volume of calls for loose dogs and that sort of thing. So we need to upgrade our facilities in order to meet best practices, and it's in our best interest to purchase some different dog catching equipment and perhaps some more. Currently, we have equipment that is adequate and we are available, but in the event that there's more than one dog, we would need to have more equipment for more people to help out with any situation that might arise. So that is what that line item is for. Public Works upgrades to comply with OH&S. We have an OH&S report, an inspection report on our Public Works building. It identifies several items that need to be repaired in order to meet OH&S. And I will just at this point jump in to say that one of the OH&S items that was identified was the low water supply, because the eyewash station at that facility doesn't actually function correctly because the water doesn't have enough pressure. The town water supply does not have enough pressure, and we are investigating whether that is because of our lateral, which would be the part that we own from our building to the street, or if it is something to do with the actual water supply from the town. So an unknown item that wasn't included in this budget because it hadn't happened yet is that we've now reached a situation where that lack of water supply has caused our furnace at the facility to fail. Because we have a hot water furnace, it requires a water supply to keep enough pressure in the heating system. And that water supply has now reached the point where it doesn't adequately supply our heating system either. So an unbudgeted expense that I do need to add to this before the next chance for the public to view is that we need to explore a water supply for the Public Works building. We are looking at keeping our supply from the town water supply, but it's possible that we may need to excavate the parking lot and install a new water lateral. And there is some discussions with the town about whether or not the system in that area is in good enough condition for us to do so. The other thing we're exploring is, can we put a well in and out of that facility?
Question.
So we have conducted some preliminary investigations, including we found a gentleman, I'm not sure how old he is, but I believe he's quite elderly, who's been retired for quite some time, who we actually spoke to ask about what his memory of the facility was and where the lines run and whatnot. And he's pointed out a septic tank on the site that we would have to avoid in the event we drilled for a well, and a few other items. So there is going to be a line item added there, and it's going to be a fairly considerable one. We're estimating approximately $40,000. So that actually isn't on there. You don't see it because we didn't know about this until the furnace failed recently. So there's that item. Some minor small items, like some new tool purchases. We had bought the tractor last year, and we do just need some lawn equipment to go with it.
What was that you need?
The lawn mowing tools. So the we have the tractor now with the snow blower and the blades and whatnot, but now we need to purchase the lawn mowing portion of the equipment so that the tractor can be used to the best of its ability. Council had previously approved that with a staff report, so that's why it's in yellow. We do actually, one of the things that OH&S, and I didn't label this as OH&S, but one of the things that they identified as a problem is that we have a considerable number of very old tools. And when I say old, it's not wrong to still have tools with a cord, but it is safer to have tools without cords. So a lot of our tools are very old with cords that may have guards that have broken or may have parts that have failed. So they've recommended that we actually go cordless and have cordless tools and do some upgrades there. So that's included in that new tool purchase. The STP aerators assessment and replacement, that is yellow because it needs to be done. We actually have an aerator that has failed. And when I say aerator, just to get it in your minds, if you can picture a bubbler in a fish tank, essentially our sewage lagoon has to have air pushed through it in order to have the algae not form on the surface and in order to have microbial agents that the oxygen essentially eats the sludge. And ours has failed. So it is a necessary item that has to be replaced. I can say that I am investigating whether or not gas tax is going to cover that. It's not showing in this budget as coming out of gas tax because I have not been able to confirm that it's eligible yet, but I believe it will be. The sewage treatment plant, new shredder macerator. The reason that this is green is because although ours has been identified as at its end of its useful life, it is currently functioning. It has not failed. So just because something may have a useful life of 25 years doesn't mean you're not going to get 30 years out of it. It just means that you ought to be aware that it needs to be replaced and budget to replace, because we don't want to have a failure. So it's green in the sense that you can say, yeah, let's try to kick this down the line a year, but please be aware that it is at the end of its useful life and our staff is asking for it to be replaced. So to be proactive, I'd like to replace it, but again, it's green. Planting and commissioning the polishing wetland. So when we agreed to do the polishing wetland, it was understood that that wetland is planted with natural grasses and flowers and plants that create a situation where it helps polish the effluent. the engineer has identified that the polishing wetland, we can choose not to plant it or replant anything that died. We would be essentially sacrificing the efficiency of the system, but we can choose to let it naturally infill with plants. So if you don't want to spend the $20,000, the system might not work as well as it's designed to work, but we can wait for it to infill over time just by the natural occurrence of plants growing and the seeds going in the wind. So that is something council can make that decision and say, you know what, we don't want to pay for plants. We'll just let it happen on its own. But just be aware that you're not going to be getting the full benefit of that system until it has properly infilled. Drainage issues at 414 Woodlawn Drive. I'm also exploring whether or not there's a possibility of gas tax for this. This one is really an unknown in terms of being able to use gas tax. There is a section where it talks about frost heave and permafrost and administration buildings and whatnot. I am reaching out to the advisor to ask if that's a possibility. Great. But essentially, our building has a lot of water coming off the roof, and it is going under the sidewalks, and it is creating a frost heave situation where it's going under the patio stones in our entryways. It is going under our sidewalks, and it is causing a situation where we're seeing some heave in the sidewalks, but also the curbs, and in particular the patio stones, which are a tripping hazard. And we have had tripping events. So that is something that could be considerably expensive. One, because it's in our best interest to have a proper system designed to divert water away from the building, but two, because there's no infrastructure in place to divert that water. So if you can picture, we actually need to cut the asphalt, excavate, put in drainage, then repave. It's a considerably expensive project.
And we did check with insurance and others.
We checked with insurance and legal.
Yeah.
And right now there is no recourse.
No.
To us.
So hopefully gas tax.
Hopefully gas tax, but again, unknown.
Mm-hmm.
So then moving on to the community well. The community well is a project that has been on the table for quite some time. It's green because it's something that council indicated in previously that they wish to support, but because of changes in the plan for that project, we haven't officially moved forward with it yet. But also with the drought and whatnot, there are other water initiatives being explored. And I guess we're just looking for council to determine whether that's a project that they want to move forward with and how much money they'd like to put in for it. We've had a variety of estimates over the past year about what, you know, our actual costs might be. I just need to add that this section for non-capital, there's another item that will need to be added that's not showing, and that is the C&D water monitoring piece. So that is in your 25-26 budget. It's still possible that that will be spent in this current fiscal, but in the event that it's not, it will need to be added to the 26-27 budget. Our estimate is around $20,000 for that, and that is based on correspondence received from NSECC last week, where we received our conditional amended permit to operate. We didn't know what that was going to look like until NSECC got back to us, and they did just get back to us to say that they would approve one sampling event in the dry period, one sampling event in the wet period, after which the hydrologist will provide a recommendation to NSECC for what our actual water monitoring plans will be. That will only be known after those two sampling events are done and we receive the plan from the hydrologist. I don't anticipate that the water monitoring component will be onerous and extensive. So if you'll recall, we talked about $50,000 a year of water monitoring a while ago. I don't think that that's going to be the number that comes as a result of that assessment, but that is an unknown.
I'm sorry, Council, I'm just going to jump in right here. We've got lunch in the next room. It's getting cold. Do you want to hold off on your questions with Marcia and then come back and ask her your questions after lunch?
Okay.
You're good with that? Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
And CAO, are you taking the lead at this point? Or who's next?
The floor is open to questions from Council to Director of Operations for her non-capital items in 26-27.
Okay. The community well project, I think we've got it, if I remember here again, 50,000. I do think we should keep that in the same as we did for the other well project with the town of Shelburne. We don't know what's going to really take place at this point. I think we should keep them in and see how it pans out, I guess, from there.
But we wouldn't do both projects, right? It'll be one or the other.
That would be
a council. That's going to be up to council.
Yeah, yeah, that would be a council decision.
They are very different projects. Like mm-hmm. the one is bulk water from the town water supply. The other one is from a well, but it's for smaller bottles.
More for residential. Well, it is for residential use and not commercial, the one for the NSCC project. But we really don't know what's going to take place with either because we're still waiting to hear back from the town of Shelburne on both projects. So I would suggest we keep it in and see how it falls from there. How does everyone feel about that? Councillor Shand, sorry.
My question was actually the same. Okay. Would we invest in two similar projects?
Yeah.
To me, I would think no, we yeah. would do one or the other.
Yeah,
yeah, that was my question, yeah. same as Heidi.
Yeah, that. So that would be a council decision. Oh, okay.
Sure.
Yes.
Sorry, we're also investigating desalination.
Yes.
I attended a meeting last week or the week before, and it was very, very interesting what actually is out there. And prior to attending the meeting, I thought that it was going to be a multi-million dollar project. However, come to find out, there is different things available, not just the floating units that they have and whatnot. So they talked about things I never thought of, like beach wells. So basically you grow a well on the beach and then the water that comes out is salt water, but you desalinate it and then it's available for public. So things like that. So they are supposed to get in touch with me and come do an assessment here and actually have something to bring to council, but all these things take time.
Yes, excellent.
So I don't have that project number of in here because we have no costs yet.
Yeah, CAO, do we have an amount in our...
not for desalination, no, we don't. Do you want us to include something?
Well, I mean, I think we should be looking at every option that there might be available. I mean, the end goal is to make sure that our residents have access to water. Right. And after going through everything that they did last year, my heavens, I hope we don't go through that again.
I think what we'll do is we'll put an amount in there for assessment.
Okay.
For this year, come up with some sort of report to sort of identify what a system might look like. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end of the year, bring a staff report to you before next budget.
Yeah. And we'll have more of an idea of what's going to take place, I think, with the other two potential projects as well, probably within the next couple of months even. So are we good with that then? Councillor Thorburn.
I will just add that I went to that council meeting in Barrington, and so afterward they had said that that you were there, and I just thought, way to go.
I found it incredibly.
It's very interesting, very interesting. So thank you for that. Yep.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Anything else for Marcia under the items that we discussed before we broke? CAO?
No, I'm just ready to move on. Yeah, when you're ready.
Just a question about the polishing wetland piece. Then the budget was like $20,000, and you said we could either do that or just leave it and let it grow on its own. Is there anything in between that where you don't have to do the full plantation and do a partial, like to not spend as, like, is that even an option?
Yeah, it totally is. You can just reduce the amount and say we'll buy X amount of dollars worth of plants and it'll be what it'll be. The other suggestion that the engineers actually made was that we get our staff to dig plants out of the ditch and relocate them.
Okay.
So that's a thing as well. So.
So we, do we want to flag that item for more discussion?
Yeah.
Okay, anything further? Thank you for that as well. Anything further? Not, we can move on.
Okay, next is going to be Administrator Protective Services.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to review again the CRPP. That's the Climate Ready Plans and Processes line there. So that's our project that's ongoing, and that's why it's in the yellow. So this is what we're going to be paying until completion of the project every single year. And what year are we in, Marcia?
Currently in year one. This is the thing. Budget that we're talking about now is year two.
Okay.
And it's only a
2-year. Okay. Yeah. Great. And then the next line, that is fire services. So this is going to be an all-encompassing one. I welcome your questions after I explain. Is everyone okay with that?
Yes.
So I'm going to give you the name of the line, and then I'm going to give you a breakdown as to understand why we called it that to better get a grasp on what I'm asking for here. Fire services, training enhancement, personal protective equipment, that's what PPE stands for, fire service equipment, fire service analysis, needs assessment, and life safety equipment maintenance. So for that, I'm asking $150,000. So to break that down, what we're looking at is establishing a needs assessment in every one of our stations. So what we have to do is look at what we have existing in those stations to provide fire protection services, what we do not have, and what needs to be done to maintain that basic equipment. This is not extra equipment at all. This is your basic equipment. And when we look at the number of 150,000, it seems very large. But then what I'd like you to think about is breaking that down. Let's just say we allocate $15,000 to each one of those departments. So if we did that, just $15,000, which is a very small amount, that's only $105,000. So with the $15,000, what we can accomplish for each department is testing all of their fire hose, because that needs to be done annually. If one of those bursts, that's a critical injury, and that becomes our liability. So all the things that I've got slated for this money, it's all for safety. Testing our protective equipment, like our PPE that you wear, the breathing air equipment, anything like a ladder that's used for climbing, any kind of piece of equipment that can be used on an emergency scene that requires annual testing. We have a sincere gap in this particular facet of the emergency service. So in order to progress into the model of governance that the province is suggesting, we need to be at a state of service that is safe, but most importantly, compliant. Because if we don't spend $15,000, you know, in each one of our stations, we could have an accident that would happen in each one of those stations that drives up for our WCB or our insurance, and it could actually be more costly than that, because we don't put prices on personnel, right? So these are things that, with the hiring of this position, with somebody in this position, this is what we're supposed to analyze every single year. So part of this is going to be going to every station, seeing what we have, what we don't have, and then making a list. So broken down in that regard, $15,000 to make sure for each station that everybody is safe and compliant doesn't seem like a whole lot. That leaves us at, again, $105,000. Now, the remainder would be $45,000. So in order to provide the service that everyone agreed to hire me for, that's training, and that's maintenance of training continued for years and years, right? I need the equipment to do that job. So you're looking at least $30,000 to get set up, and that includes personal protective equipment for myself in order to teach these things, teaching aids, and additional equipment that you'd use in a classroom scenario or in a hands-on training environment. These things can vary, costs do vary, but as an idea, a set of bunker gear is upwards of $5,000 to $7,000 per person. And that's just your pants and coat. That's not your $200 pair of gloves or your $200 hood that keeps you safe for your $600 helmet, your $900 pair of boots. Now you can see where the 30,000 is like, oh, okay, that's just one person, right? So looking at it in this regard, as we go through the rest of the 14 years after this, you're going to see these costs be very, very, very similar. So I wanted to break it down in this section here to let you know exactly what needs to be maintained. Most of the things, most safety, life safety equipment pieces in this project have a 10-year shelf life. But it requires a maintenance plan, and it requires a cleaning plan as well. So a lot of these things need to be decontaminated. And this is also including in this project, the equipment needed to clean these items to keep everyone safe. Eventually, we can look at the possibility of utilizing gas tax money on assets that belong to us. Fire departments are included, but it's very specific. So I'm investigating that as well. And that would be, you know, maybe looking at for the next round. But as for now, this is a green project. That is the detail of that. And again, that's the breakdown.
Okay, I have three questions right off. See if I can make up my scribbles here. So what do our fire departments do right now to ensure that they're safe and they're compliant?
Our fire departments operate as independent organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on their own bylaws and their own rules in each individual department, they operate differently.
Okay, so it could be from one end of the spectrum to the other as to each department is actually doing.
Yes, there. So some may be performing these duties already. Others may need some assistance in getting this infrastructure in place and helping them along so that they can put in the continuous maintenance program.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. My second question is, the two towns provide fire service protection for our residents. I think the town of Shelburne is close to a third of our residents. And I'm not sure with the town of Lockport, but certainly down in District 6 for sure. And I think part of 7, I'm not sure. Sorry, just right. the town of Lockport, yeah. And what fire protection they provide for our residents. So what does that mean? I mean, we want to make sure everyone who's providing the fire service protection to our residents is at the same, mm-hmm. shall we say, caliber. So has there been any thought to those two units as well?
There has. Okay. And that's a really excellent question. And I'm really excited to hear everyone thinking along those lines, especially you. We all need to be thinking the same. And with the governance model that is being proposed, that is where we are going to be. Okay. So right now we're going to work together to make sure that everybody understands that these are the standards that should have been in place. It's not a pointing of fingers. It's to say this is going to keep us all safe. So right now it's going to be an education piece as well, and working together to make sure that everybody understands why we're choosing to say we need these things now. It's not to say, you know, that we have to make the others do what we're doing. It's to say we should have been doing this all along. So we're not necessarily playing catch up, but we're making sure that we're starting at a point when governance happens, that we're all on the same playing field and that we all have the safety tools in place to do so. Yeah. That includes both towns. So that's conversations, that's education,
mm-hmm.
right? To make sure that that's what we're paying for them as well out of the portion of our budget, right?
And so that leads me to my final question. And again, it was like, how does this all fit into the province's plan, what they were calling a transition from now to the year 3. And I mean, they did speak about funding,
mm-hmm.
for training, funding for
transition.
Sorry?
Transition.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. just not for fire trucks, but for the equipment that they need, yeah. I guess. That's the word I was trying to find. excuse me, so I'm just curious how, you know, with us doing this, how that's going, how we integrate that into what the province is planning to do?
As it stands right now, the province has programs that offer funding opportunities upon application for departments. And those are grants, the emergency services provider grants.
Is it every 2 years they can apply or something like that?
Yeah. And there's different criteria that each department has to meet with reporting and things like that in order to be eligible for this funding.
Mm-hmm.
So they have this kind of funding already in place, but what they're looking to do with governance as it stands and as it's been communicated is supplement if there is funding available for the training component. We haven't had confirmed word that they will support it with funding right now. As everyone knows, there's funding that is up in the air in all aspects of the provincial government. So looking at it, if we can fund the basic safety equipment for our firefighters, we are going to be ready for what comes down the pipe for the training, mm-hmm. and the cost for us will be way less then. And then we can use that supplementary income from the province if they do have that available when the time comes. But we need the basics in order to be able to put the training on and in order to be compliant to perform training.
Yeah, the foundation has to be done.
That's right.
Yeah. CAO?
Yeah, thank you. I think the governance point is something we really need to just talk about quickly here. They haven't put the regulations out, but the PowerPoints that they've given us so far are showing that the governance is going to be from council to the CAO, and then the CAO can work with our administrator of protective services. The chiefs will report up to myself and her. Part of that would be that we would put in place our own policies, which would include training and protection and all of the things that Jen's been talking about. But I think that that is also going to fall in line with the provincial standards that are coming. I believe they're going to be appointing a commissioner who's going to be setting out training standards. So all of the training standards are probably going to include everything that Jen is asking us to supply. And so that's going to be a centralized fire service from us down to the chiefs. And they'll have to comply with that. So the governance part is really important, I think.
Sure. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Just a quick question. So I'm not sure where I heard this, but I think it was from you, from one of your reports, that good news, 200 volunteers throughout all our fire departments.
That's correct.
And so then when you do that math on the PPEs, mm-hmm. you know, then you know there's a cost. And so each PPE unit is specific for one volunteer, correct? Or do they change out? Do they borrow each other's equipment?
Ideally, your personal protective equipment should be measured to your body because of the immediately dangerous to life and health, the IDLH environment that you are being put into.
Yeah.
And that's direct terminology right from your coat on the inside. This is what it says on the inside, actually.
Okay.
It says that it can kill you. Firefighting can kill you.
Exactly.
It should be measured for your person, and it should be an individual thing. The volunteer fire service for years has seen people sharing PPE because of financial constraints.
Yes.
So understanding that it's not a bad thing that, you know, your gear may not be sized for you, but moving in a direction to understand that it is just like a workplace and that your PPE is your PPE to keep you safe is where the province is looking to move our mindset.
Right. And just one other question then. Given the maybe even more integrated, we understand that there's mutual aid. Do you have a sense yet? And will you have a sense, because it will project out to future costs, perhaps, the operability of each fire department's equipment? Is it full currently?
So the good news with that and the governance piece that the CAO has brought into this conversation is that part of the governance model includes an analysis of that.
Okay.
So as each individual unit analyzes their equipment and their provision of service, that's how the determination of training needs, equipment needs, and level of service will be brought forth. So then we can plan better. So working at the ground level now with the safety equipment, making sure everything is up to snuff, then the interoperability comes into play after that has been analyzed, after I've analyzed it, and then after it's analyzed again in the governance model. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I have Deputy Warden and then Councillor Poole.
So has the Fire Advisory Committee been aware or made aware of everything that's going on and it's being accepted? Like, are they welcoming to what you're proposing?
This has been an extremely positive experience with our municipal chiefs and the memberships, because it's a huge leap forward for our area. Everyone is on board because we're going to get better and we're going to do better and provide a better service.
And have you seen the membership being being the younger versions of the youth coming forward to wanting to be a part, or is it still the 50 plus? Like,
we have a very strong age gap right now, because after the wildfires, we saw an uptick in volunteerism, but we still also have that very strong core group of people in that other age category. So it's a mix right now, but if we focus on the safety aspect and give everyone the tools that they need to do the job, that's how you retain people. Mm-hmm. They're set to go. They come in, they can learn, they have the gear that they need. Why wouldn't you stay? It's the best job in the world.
Thank you, Councillor Cool.
I kind of want to pick up in the area of the, when I think of this and training part of it and all the other stuff that's involved, the initial stuff when it's all done and you know what the hoses are like, you know what the equipment's like, the next year it's actually going to be probably cheaper,
yes,
or easier to budget, because you could say so-and-so station needs this and we could settle there, and this station might be fully okay. Mm-hmm. So it's actually could end up in the long run saving money.
100%. That was how I was going to close out my statement, so thank you for bringing that up, because it does. That's how this works. The maintenance of this equipment saves you money, so thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Councillor Shand.
I guess my thought is, just if we're going in and we're doing these analyses and you go in there and you determine that the entire fire station, their bunker gear is out of date and useless, what is the plan then to be able to afford to replace that to make them safe? Because $15,000 is not going to touch something like that. So
no.
How are we affording to make the changes that are needed if we do an assessment and realize that they need XYZ kind of thing?
So that would be in consultation, because as it stands right now, the departments have their own budget and they're the ones that are responsible for the decisions that they make to put themselves in a position where they don't have the gear. So they would have to be educated in understanding that, much like a truck replacement procedure, they'd have to put PPE replacement as their top priority. So it would be an education piece on prioritization and then how to care for that gear instead of looking at it as something that, you know, is just the same. The maintenance of that PPE is going to be part of that plan as well, because the gear may not need to be fully replaced. It could be repaired, but it needs to be tested. So that's another thing that we need to look at as well. It's the testing of the PPE. It's not just washing and cleaning, it's also testing. So that might be a solution. It might not look like it's okay, or it may be out of date, but if that department does not provide an interior fire protection service, they're not going inside of a structure that's burning. And if you look on the tag, everything in the fire service tells you what it's made for and what it's supposed to be used and how you should not use it. So it's another education piece. Maybe they can't provide the service that they thought they could until they have that replacement plan set to go.
CAO, did you have
a comment
that you wanted to make? And then Councillor.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up the topic of insurance. So as we know from Barrington, insurance companies were challenging paying out on structures that had been burnt down on the basis that fire departments weren't adequately trained or equipped. So this is a big step towards making sure that our departments are equipped and trained properly. That's going to go a long way to protect us from any vulnerabilities towards insurance.
And, you know, the liability aspect of this is very important, but the most important thing is their lives, to make sure that, you know, they're going in when we leave and trying to protect everything that we have. So we have to make sure whatever we can do to ensure their protection while we're doing it. Councillor Sutherland.
I just have one quick question. So you said $15,000 per se for each department. Is that a lot of work sort of give money towards the town of Shelburne's fire department and town Lockport department? Or is that onus all on us?
In which regards? So what I've scoped out here, this is not including the two towns. This is looking after the municipal departments. And this is to make sure that we're doing everything we can financially to fill those gaps, because they govern themselves right now, and we just contribute to that because they share the service with us. Thank you.
CAO.
Yeah, I just want to respond to that, Councillor. We're going to have to renegotiate our agreements with the two towns so that whatever standards we're putting in place for our departments, they need to fit into that standard structure. So that'll be something we have to address with them.
And I just have one more thing, back to Councillor Shan's point with the governance. The whole idea is to prevent that issue from happening. So when you walk into a department and you have nothing to use because it's all out of date and nobody's safe to help, they're looking at how to train people to recognize this from the start. So hopefully that's going to be a part of it as well. It's not going to be just on us. The education piece is going to be for everyone in the fire service from now on to put a plan in place administratively to prevent that from happening.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Councillor Richardson, did you have anything that you wish to add to the conversation? You may have stepped away as well. Okay, anything further? We're good? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did council want to flag either of those two items for the next meeting?
I think that'll probably come up with a discussion that's already been flagged with fire departments and funding and things that we flagged earlier, I would assume.
Okay, so we're not going to flag these two. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're now going to move into capital for that year. We're going to start off with Director of Recreation.
Okay.
So this is related, the one item for recreation is related to the Jordan Youth Park. So as I mentioned earlier, this is the capital portion. The other one was non-capital. So this was referring to that amount of 48,000 was basically around new play equipment. Maybe like a picnic shelter, things that would be installed there on site. But again, some of that was dependent on potential grants, and as we discussed earlier, we'll kind of reassess that project.
Any questions, comments?
So that one was flagged previously, wasn't it?
Okay.
All right, just moving on to the Director of Economic Development, Brownfield Redevelopment Project, $540,000 there. Is potentially going to be used for the old boys school if the property owner doesn't redeem their property and the deed gets transferred to us. We would put out an RFP for looking to knock down the buildings there, and 100% of that funding would come from the half funding, so it wouldn't come out of our reserves. Next item is the buyback agreement for the industrial park lands down by the water. So we have that option open to us if we want to. So that's a point of discussion for council. West Green Harbor, 126 Shore Road. We need to do some surveying on there in order for those lands to be declared surplus property. Do you want to flag any of these items for discussion next week?
I have a question.
Yep.
The industrial park lands, when does that come up, that through that contract we can buy those properties back before it goes?
It is coming up this year.
Oh,
sorry. I don't know which month this year, but it is this year that it's coming up.
September. Yep. So we will see a staff report that comes on that. Should we flag it right now?
Yeah, it'll be a staff report, but you'll have to decide on Tuesday if you want to keep it in the budget. If you don't want to keep it in the budget, then there'll be no staff report and the lands will remain with the owners.
I think we flag it and have that discussion.
Yeah. I think it should remain, because I think if there's an opportunity to get that piece of property back, that we should take it.
Okay, thank you very much. Moving on to C&D Site Safety Works.
So the next two items are for the work at the C&D site. This item was budgeted in the current fiscal, but it was put on hold due to the various decisions about the site. And now that we've decided to move forward, we are putting these purchases into the next fiscal. There is some question whether or not the containers may be paid for in the current fiscal. And if that's the case, they won't need to be paid for in the next fiscal. We're still paying the same amount of money, just which year it comes out of may differ. That's all sort of coming to fruition right now. And because we're at the end of the fiscal year, we're just not 100% sure where it's going to be. So that's why you're seeing it in the next, in this budget. The Public Works tractor attachments, this is for the lawn equipment. And I guess I misspoke in the non-capital section. We ended up, at the request of the auditor, we ended up separating it out. I had it as one item for Public Works equipment purchase. And when I spoke earlier in the non-capital section, I referred to the tractor attachments. The auditor asked us to separate them out because our tractor is a capital item. Therefore, the attachments that go with it go in the capital. So I'll just correct myself. So that is what that item is. It's for the lawn equipment attachments for our tractor. The Public Works water supply, I guess I did slide that one in there. That is the water supply issue that we're having where we need to do a repair. The signage for the 414 Woodlawn Drive, that was a project in the current fiscal year that has been placed on hold several times. Really, we're just waiting to bring it back to council with new designs. We went back to the proponent of the RFP several times and they provided multiple designs. So I think we might have to go back to the table and actually potentially go out to RFP again. So that is something that's on my to-do list, but it is green because it's a project that does not have to proceed.
So what would be the reason of going out for another RFP? We're not happy with
we've not approved. I believe it's 10 designs they've provided so far that we've never approved. So what they've said to us is,
can't help you.
we unless you specifically tell us what you want your sign to be, as in you tell me you want it to be a 6x8 box or a 6x8 two-sided or with this type of post and this type of light. Unless you give us the specifications, we don't know what to design for you.
Okay.
So, okay. We have to be more clear on what exactly it is we're asking of them, because saying bring us a design that we like isn't moving the project forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
The designs are horrible. She didn't say that. I'm saying it. They were terrible.
So this is the SCADA. The next item is the SCADA computer program that I spoke of earlier when you saw the annual SCADA fee. If you choose to purchase the SCADA system, which is a capital item, then you will incur an annual user fee for having that SCADA system. This is, again, a bit of a wish list item in the sense that our sewage treatment plant operator would like to have a SCADA system. They see benefit in it. I've put it forward at their request, but it's not something required for our system to work, and that's why it's green.
And so the total cost, if I may, between what the annual cost is and the capital cost is how much?
$26,200.
I just want to add to that
for the annual fee
and purchasing it is $25,000. The annual fee is $1,200 every year moving forward.
I just want to add to that, Warden. Do you remember the tour we did to Argyle to their waste treatment facility? That computer system that was the SCADA system there. So all of their data is digitized in the system.
What they could do with that, and the information they could take from that.
Yeah,
our system is entirely manual, so it would be definitely a big upgrade.
I can tell you that with the computerized septage panel that we put in last year, we love that system. It is excellent to be able to from anywhere access it at the click of a button and see exactly what volume has went through, who's used the site, when they used it, you know, how much waste they put through. The ability to have access to data in that way, instead of a very old-fashioned somebody laying eyes on a thing, recording it, and then someone having to put those recordings into an Excel spreadsheet and tabulate them annually.
Well, there's room for error there, too.
There's room for error there, and it's a fair amount of staff time and whatnot. So the ask is not that high, considering the data that's available to you and the uses that it has. So, but that being said, again, it's not a requirement, which is why it's green.
So, I just have a quick question.
Yep.
Would that system notify us if there's something that has failed, if we have lights out or whatever they're called that's over top?
I'm actually not sure. So I can put a flag on that and ask some follow-up questions.
Because that would be good if we knew that, you know, it failed at a certain amount of time, or if it wasn't addressed in an appropriate manner, then we have that document as well.
Yes.
I think I remember from the Argyle visit that they had notification systems in their system, which I'm guessing SCADA probably has different levels of sophistication.
I would assume so. Yeah. Our other systems that we have for other spots, such as this building, has notification systems built in. So I believe this does, but I don't want to say for sure because I really don't know. So the next item is a CCAN purchase. So we talked about the need for additional storage. We not only need additional storage for recreation items, and not to step on Adam's toes here, but recreation items are not necessarily something you can put out into a CCAN because a lot of them are fabric-based or materials that could deteriorate if they're left in an unheated space.
Yes.
We are trying very hard to clean out our public works building to create a space that allows us enough room to conduct our public works activities adequately, and also to protect the assets that we already have, like our tractor, our plow truck. We park the plow truck inside so the salt doesn't get, you know, moist, that sort of thing. So with that in mind, the CCAN purchase would allow us to take some items such as our green bins, take them down out of the exterior stacks, get them out of the UV rays, put them together, have them ready for people to pick up, and it would give a storage space for that. It would also give additional storage. Currently, we have all of our light program operating out of one of the bays at our public works. We have three bays. Only one of them is currently being used for public works. So just to be clear, that entire large building, only one section of it is available for public works. One bay is used for our light program where we store all the pallets. Those pallets could go out into the CCAN and the light program could be processed through that. Something that's came up since I made this budget, there's a potential to have a CCAN provided to us without us purchasing one. I'm looking into it, but it require us to make some changes. So that would be a staff report. But this is a green item because it's something that you don't have to do. It's something that staff would like to have and sees benefit in. And we can certainly continue to explore having a CCAN provided from another avenue. But I'd like to see it kept in the budget in the sense that if we can't get someone else to fund one, I'd like to be able to buy one with our municipal funds. That's the last item on my list, but I also want to point out the polishing wetland will not, unless we miraculously by the end of March have a thaw and a dry period, our polishing wetland will not be done by March 31st as anticipated. So that project that's on our plan for this current fiscal that we thought was going to be completed by Christmas has not been. So we will to move forward in 26-27, approximately $200,000 in the budget to complete that project. So again, that's one of those items that it's not new funds. It's funds that were already approved in the current fiscal. They're just not going to be spent. They're going to need to come in this one. So that project will have to be added.
Okay, I would definitely support keeping the CCAN purchase in the budget. I would much rather us have something physical that's ours for for storage as opposed to paying rent in someone else's building.
But they're not mutual, they're mutually exclusive, because the C-can is not heated storage for the rec stuff. The rec stuff still needs to be removed from the building. So we still
need more storage.
Yes.
Okay.
There's also the events committee, the events storage.
Exactly.
Other stuff as well. Yeah.
So if you can picture.
So we're needing two separate.
They already have their own offsite storage that they pay for. But essentially they're finding that it's unheated space. So heated space is at a premium. It's hard to find. But when you start talking about fabric or like units, the blow up units or things that they use to host events, you need storage for all of those things. You know, the signage, all the yeah. items, they have to go somewhere.
So there's three storage requirements. There's public works storage requirement. Yeah. There's recreation, and then there's the community. So the community and the rec would be proposed to go into the heated for $24,000 a year. Okay. And then the operations would go, the public works would go into the C-can.
Okay, so yeah. $45,000 or something we would be looking at for storage. Is that correct then?
Yes.
Yeah. Does council want to flag any of these seven items for discussion next week?
I think we need to talk about storage for sure.
I got that flag.
Yeah.
They want to flag the C-can?
Yeah.
Councillor Thorburn.
So just to say what you did now, take that $45,000 and times that by 10 years.
Yeah.
It looks like a building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I comment on that? So at the last budget last fiscal, I did have a line item in the budget initially for a potential new public works building. I had discussed that quite in depth with our former project manager, who was the project manager for the construction of this building. At that time, he indicated that a new public works building could be in the range of about $8 million. So to be clear, to make a building, you still require a site, you still require a driveway, you still require a parking lot, you require a washroom. So you need the plumbing, you need the electrical, you need infrastructure. The part that's different from our building, the only real difference is the interior partition walls and maybe an extra kitchen. So the construction costs are very similar.
So I just want to say something.
I think about a house, 1,500 square foot home. Is what, 400,000, 500,000? And we're talking 8 million, like that. I can't wrap my head around the numbers.
Could I suggest something? I mean, what we could include in the budget is to actually put an RFP out for a design.
That's in next fiscal.
Is it next fiscal?
In there.
All right. So next year we've got that ahead. Maybe we just wait for that and then take a look at that, and we just put up with our storage woes for a year.
Of course. Yeah.
Or we could move that forward to this year.
Yeah.
Do the assessment this year, and then we'll know.
So we'll flag that for discussion. Yeah. Councilor Thorburn-Irvine.
So it's just a perspective, but I do want to share this. I have a 1,000 square foot building on a heated cement pad with Chris Bird's rehouse timber, and I know I have the bills for it. That whole thing, and it's just as big as my house, which is a 3,000 square foot building. That building, so cement pad, it's insulated. That was $50,000. $50,000. Rehouse timber, Chris Bird.
So we're gonna just back up.
Yeah. Councillor, we'd be talking about a building that would also have offices in it and all the rest of it, right?
All right, fair enough.
We'll move forward. We'll move forward the expense for doing the design, and then we'll know.
Thank you. Councillor Cool.
I was just going to mention, but I already talked to CAO about it earlier at lunch. We, through Southwest Nova, just in the process looking for storage and all that. And we just purchased, and hopefully within the next month or so, it'll all be at the Lions Club out in Barrington. But we purchased a full building. Everything we need for it, and I think it will cover more than what we need, but and also a meeting space that I think by the time the full bill comes in, it'll be less than $25,000. So it's just a thought.
Yeah. Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Anything before we move on? I think that's one we could discuss for a very long time. So, and we will discuss it next week. Anything else that needs to be flagged? Are we good? Okay. Thank you for that.
All right, I'm just going to move along here. We're into 27-28, so the second year of the 15 years. The first items are the funding. So we've got a repeat of all the items that we had in the first funding. So we've got the receiving the fourth installment of half two, the healthcare reserve reallocation. I can't remember if you wanted that flagged or not previously.
The healthcare reserve?
Yeah.
I don't, we, I don't think we flagged healthcare. Yes, that's what it was. Yeah.
So you're okay with all of those? Okay. All right, moving on to the non-capital items. I think we have some.
Wasn't anything else there, CAO, for us to look at on 27-28?